And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show for our last full week before Christmas, you could say, I suppose, and our last full week of the show in 2024. And what a 24 it's been. Hopefully you had a great weekend, by the way, and hopefully you're feeling good today. And you can stick with us for the next 3 hours. And because we're easing into Christmas, we've got a lovely array of stuff on the programme this week. Today, we are crossing to Nazareth House. We have Sinead Black and her partner, Ali, her dad, Ali, supporting her, of course. And we're going to be speaking to people over in Nazareth House, getting a little bit of live music. That's coming up after 10 o'clock. That's going to be an audio experience, of course, for you listening. But you can also watch that if you want to hop onto the YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch that on the large screen in your TV, if it's a smart TV, or your Fire Stick, if you wish. We're also on Facebook and X. Then after 11, I think we're giving away €1,000. This week, you can win over €35,000 between cars and cash on Highland Radio. If you haven't got your ticket, this is the day to get it because it is the last big week. As I say, all this week we've got 5 draws of €1,000 and then we've got a car worth over €30,000. There's still an awful lot to play for. We've already had 5 €1,000 winners. We're going to make another €1,000 after 11 o'clock today, and then more money to give away all week, and then a car worth over €30,000. So what I will say to you is this, if you don't mind, just at the start of the show, if you are inclined to buy a ticket, or if you want to buy a ticket for someone as a present, a birthday or Christmas or whatever it might be, you now have an opportunity to win well over €35,000 in cash and car. 5 €1,000 draws and one beautiful Toyota Yaris Cross. If you want to get your tickets, now's the time to do it, because then you're in it for the week and you can chill. And you can go onto our website, highlandradio.com, click win a car there, buy your tickets. As I say, if you can get them before 10, all the better, or half 10, all the better, because then we're making the car draw a little later on. Not the car draw, I beg your pardon, the €1,000 draw a little later on. The car draw comes on the 23rd of December. And also, if you just want to buy a ticket at the start of the week for the crack, then you can give us a call here on 07491 25000. We'll be able to sort you out there. We can process it for you or call up with cash. And the reason I'm mentioning it now, just to recap, it's the start of the week. There's 5 €1,000 up for grabs, and there is a car up for grabs as well. The tickets are €15. I would encourage you, please, only to buy one if you can afford it and have the spare cash, and it's a bit of fun for you, right? Or if you want to buy 5 for €50, obviously there's a saving there, and you can put different names on them and what have you. So that's 5,000 draws, 5 €1,000 draws this week, and a car. Today, this hour and a half, is when you need to get in to win and potentially win all of those prizes. You can call up to the station here as well if you wish to purchase your ticket, but give us a call, 07491 25000, if you want us to process it for you over the phone. On to the papers this morning. The Derry People Donegal News have a remarkable picture taken from the sky. It seems to be from a drone. And it's relating to this story. A Donegal councillor has praised emergency services for their quick response after a fire broke out at the old Gullah Duff Mill in Moville. Thankfully, there are no injuries as a result of the blaze, which broke out late on Friday evening. Local councillor Martin Farron said it took almost 7 hours for fire crews to extinguish the blaze, but their actions ensured the fire didn't spread to adjacent businesses. Amid concerns over the fact that the roof of the damaged building contains asbestos, the site has been cordoned off. Staff from the environmental section of Donegal County Council visited the site on Saturday night. The fire service have all the best equipment in terms of air purification and what have you, but it is an added danger, no doubt, when they are tackling a blaze of this magnitude. And I didn't realise the building was quite as big as it is. They have to protect themselves from the flames, from the smoke, and potentially asbestos fumes. Fair play to them, actually, for what they do. It's amazing. It's a great picture that actually really paints the picture of that that blaze. The Derry News this morning: on the run murderer still at large. Police are searching for convicted murderer James Meehan, who remains unlawfully at large. Meehan, 55, has been serving a life sentence following a murder conviction in 2009. Police said he failed to return to prison after being on day release from HMP McGilligan last Monday. Officers are appealing for information to assist in locating Meehan, adding that they encourage him to return himself in. A spokesperson said, "We're appealing to anyone who's seen him or who knows of his whereabouts not to approach him directly, but to contact police on 101, quoting reference 125 09 12 24. This is not trying to dilute from an important story here, but there's strong potential of a cross-border element to this. And I just wish the PSNI, I think the Gardaí are very good at it, I wish the PSNI would consider more how people in the Republic contact the police service. Okay, so we don't have a non-emergency number to contact the PSNI here. And as I say, with a lot of these appeals, and especially missing persons appeals, there's often a cross-border element. And I still to this day don't understand why the PSNI don't take account of that. As I say, this very well could have a cross-border element to it, but where would you begin to contact the PSNI? I wouldn't know. And we've had situations in the past here whereby people have looked to make a complaint to the police from the south and were unable to find a number. We got them a number eventually, but it was quite the dig. On to the Nationals now. And again, you might be waiting for postage. You might be wondering, are your family going to be able to get home on the ferry out of Holyhead? There's a lot of unanswered questions. Holyhead was closed after damage from Storm Dara. There was some speculation that it would be back up and running this Thursday, but no one seems to know the extent of the damage. But it has huge implications for Irish businesses that are trying to, you know, get stuff into the UK market. People waiting on deliveries from Britain. But also, too, obviously, you know, around 100,000, 150,000 people use the ferry from Holyhead over Christmas. So many people are wondering, am I going to be able to pack up the car and come home, or am I going to be able to get home? Excuse me. So there's lots of talk ongoing to try and get all stuff moving. We're going to be speaking to a haulier, actually, a little later on in this hour, just to get a sense of what the reality is for them guys. But anyway, I'll read on here. Tens of thousands of ferry passengers travelling home from Britain this Christmas could be facing travel chaos, with fears Holyhead repairs will not be ready for the festive rush. The port has been closed due to damage caused during Storm Dara, passenger diversions, and a reliance on alternative ports will reduce facilities. With reduced facilities are all factors that are set to cause chaos later this week, with around 150,000 passengers hoping to travel on the Holyhead to Dublin route in the days leading up to Christmas. The government is considering asking ports, which are set up solely to carry freight, to put in place temporary facilities to be able to carry passengers, the Irish Independent understands. That's been confirmed by government. But that's complicated too, because a lot of the ports that they're talking of would deal with energy infrastructure and that type of stuff. So, you know, they've got deadlines. They'll want compensation, won't they? Junior Transport Minister James Lawless will meet stakeholders such as Irish Rail and the Irish Road Haulage Association this morning before meeting representatives of ferry companies, Stena and Irish Ferries this afternoon. It's up to ports and ferries to provide additional capacity in order to ease the backlog created by the closure at Holyhead Port. So I don't know, are you or any of your family looking to use that route? Are you concerned if you'll be able to? Or maybe you've been contacted by a ferry company and offered alternatives. Any information would be useful. The WhatsApp number 00353 86 60 25000. Another story we're going to talk about a little later on is the closure of the Israeli embassy in Dublin, which to some extent, if I were Israeli or Jewish for that matter, and I was living in Ireland, and there's quite a community of the people I described there, it would feel a little bit like my country turning my back on me. That's how I might feel anyway. But we will speak to representatives of the Israeli community to see what their views are. The Irish Times: Ireland will not be deterred from pursuing its case against Israel at the International Court of Justice over the Gaza conflict after the Israeli government announced yesterday it was closing its embassy in Dublin, the government have said. Confirming the decision yesterday, the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the decision to close the Israeli embassy in Dublin was made in light of the extreme anti-Israel policy of the Irish government. The move comes in the wake of diplomatic tensions between the countries over Ireland's recognition of Palestine statehood and its participation in the South African lawsuit against Israel at the ICJ. And I'm going to read in the paper a little bit later on at least 45 8,000 people, many of them women and children, are dead in Gaza. And I would say that's quite a conservative estimate. This was all in retaliation to that awful situation whereby a number of Israelis were killed or kidnapped in October of last year. A horrendous act by Hamas. But what has unfolded since is very hard to argue as a proportional response. You've got effectively the third of the population of Donegal just wiped off the face of the earth, bombed out of it. Can you imagine? In a show and effectively blown to bits and not a man, woman or child left. That's effectively, there might be some variance in population. That's effectively what's happened. And for those that survive, God knows what the trauma must be like, but there's nothing to go back to because it is a flattened, just a concrete dump effectively. And as I say, I'll read about that a little later on. Irish Daily Mail this morning. Thousands, and this is a question that I was putting to. This is a question I was putting to Simon Harris and others, as it relates to the ambitious plans to build houses here. It was the infrastructure, the water, the sewerage, the power. And here we are now after the election. It's the front page of the Irish Daily Mail. Thousands of new homes pledged by the government over the next 5 years may not be built because there's not enough water, Ishq Aaron has warned. The water body also says it needs an extra $1.7 billion in funding or it simply cannot complete the job. Despite the government targets an average of 50,000 new homes annually, Ishq Aaron can only currently supply 35,000 new homes a year for the next 5 years, the head of the beleaguered water utility admitted yesterday. And that is just a reality. Okay, I'll come back to the papers, but Daniel O'Dowd is Ireland-Israel, or spokesperson for the Ireland-Israel Alliance, and very busy this morning, so I won't delay him any longer. Daniel, good morning to you. Thank you for your time.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me on.
Daniel, your reaction to Israel's decision to close its embassy in Dublin. I mean, obviously, this talks to a very poor set of circumstances for the Israel-Ireland relationship. Do you think the decision was the right one?
I think whether it's the right one is another question. I think ultimately it's a far too predictable one. It's one that it's been a question of for the past couple of months, even years, a question of when, not if. If we date it back to 2018 and the Occupied Territories Bill, and I think that sentiment has only really accelerated post October 7th. And I think obviously the Israeli government felt there was no benefit accruing from having diplomatic relationships with Dublin. They obviously felt they were deafened to whatever Israel had to say and were really intent on taking provocative action to really target Israel on the international stage.
But this is it not leaving the Jewish Israel population in Ireland a bit high and dry? Because the embassy is there also, of course, for people to engage with and what have you.
Well, I think that's why it was such a sad moment for so many people yesterday when the news broke. And, you know, exactly that. The embassy was such a source and pillar of support for the community and many of the Israelis who are operating here in the tech industry post October 7th. You know, it was there for people. So it's very sad that ultimately, you know, Israel has felt the need to make this statement or make this move to send a message to Dublin in diplomatic terms, because it does come at a cost. And, you know, I think what's ultimately very upsetting for many of the Jewish community here is that there's just doesn't seem to be a short to medium term possibility of relations being revived in any sort of a constructive way.
You referenced the horrendous actions of Hamas on October 7th last year, in which hundreds of people were killed, many and slaughtered in the most despicable way, and of course many people taken hostage, and they are still missing to this day. Absolutely horrendous what was done on that day, but since then Israel has responded and has been very active in Gaza, as you would know. The death toll now in excess of 45,000 euro, many of them innocent civilians, women and children, which has triggered the government's stance on Israel. With all that being said, I mean, you couldn't justify, I'm sure, Israel's actions over the course of the last 13 months, could you?
I think absolutely we can stand over them. This is a war on terror, and ultimately, when we look at it, you know, this is why are Israel still in Gaza? And I think that's the question people need to be asking. The reason they're still in there is because there is Israeli hostages who are left, and you know, at the most recent round of peace negotiations between, or ceasefire negotiations more accurately, between Hamas and Israel, Hamas refused to verify how many hostages were still alive or offer that information up. And what we've seen is, even from previous conflicts, is when Israelis are taken hostage into Gaza, they can be there for years, decades, and the international community is not going to do anything really to bring them home. So to speak, that is fundamentally why Israel is still there. And when we look at what the past couple of months has been about, it has been destroying the Hamas terror network, it's the Hezbollah terror network, it has been really weakening Iran as well. We're ultimately, and I think that's something really worth stating here as well, in terms of, we talk about Ireland's, you know, concern for the Middle East, but at the same point, we've opened an embassy in Tehran in the past couple of months, and yet Iran has used Palestinians to serve their own political ends and attack Israel and use them as a proxy. And I think it's a very, very poor message for us to send, that, you know, we're going to criticize Israel, we're going to dilute the definition of genocide in the international law circle to suit our narrative on the Middle East. But when we look at the people who are, you know, pushing and really manipulating the Palestinians and the Iranians, we've rewarded them with an embassy, which is in marked contrast to many of our European neighbours.
An embassy is an embassy, right? It's a building and it's symbolic, and I get that. But just go back to, if you don't mind. So at what cost is too much to get rid of Hamas? Many believe that they've been reduced to virtually nothing at this point, and in fact, it's an ideology. Do you know what I mean? It's not actually feet on the ground. It's an ideology, and it will bounce back. But I mean, all the women and children, the innocents that have been killed, and maybe Hamas used them as human shields. But at the end of the day, you actually genuinely think it's justifiable what Israel has done in the to some extent, or to a great extent, indiscriminate bombing that has killed so many women and so many women and children, and innocent men as well. You think that's justified?
Well, I think it's very important what we say this is. As I said, it is a war on terror, and I do think it can be justified when we look at several of the measures that have been taken by the IDF to try and reduce civilian casualties. And I think it is also incredibly important to mention, this is an urban conflict where, you know, inevitably when these conflicts come about, the civilian to combatant casualty ratios are exceptionally difficult to manage. When we look at previous American conflicts, they can be, you know, 8-1, 9-1, 10-1. At the moment, the IDF is saying that the civilian to combatant casualty ratio is somewhere in the region of 2-1.5:1, which, I know that doesn't take away any of the pain and suffering that's happening in Gaza. What it does show is that this isn't indiscriminate. This is targeted. This is also trying to crush a terror network.
Daniel, I get what you're saying, right? But when you talk of, you know, and I'm looking at images here in front of me of children in bits here. When you talk about ratios and that we're doing better than America did at 8 or 9-1, and it's only 2.5-1, and like this is why people's attitude around the world is changing towards Israel, and this is why it's getting difficult for Israeli people to live in other countries, because for most people, the way you've just described that is incomprehensible that anyone could justify the murdering of civilians by saying it's not quite as bad as others do it.
Well, I think we need to really push back on that. And also when we say about, you know, Israelis not being, you know, being able to live in the wider world, you know, we've seen a pogrom in and an attempted lynching in Amsterdam. We've seen a synagogue in Australia set alight. There has been some very, very violent rhetoric bandied about, which has been really irresponsible. And also, we've had a Jewish student in Ireland beaten up in a nightclub for wearing a Star of David necklace and being identified as such. So I think when we're talking about this, it's not that we're saying that, oh, you know, this ratio, it's it's in terms we're looking and saying we are trying to protect civilian lives. We are trying to do these things. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, when it's really important to mention that there was a ceasefire on October 6th. There was has been many attempts at peace, or you know, attempts to put in, I suppose, a framework for relative peace, security and stability. But Hamas broke that, and ultimately this has served their propaganda.
What's your views of the, I don't know if you have any friends that are Palestinian. What's your views of just the general Palestinian people? Not Hamas now, the general Palestinian people. Do you think them as neighbours in Israel?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you look at the Palestinian people, I think they are very abused people, quite frankly. And this comes back to my previous point. I think they've been abused by so many of their neighbouring Arab countries. They've been used as political tools to serve other people's agenda. And they've never really been given that chance, so to speak. But I think when we talk about being good neighbours, it's also that it's so important that Palestinians are separated from Hamas. And that is what fundamentally Israel is trying
to do. Hamas is, as I said earlier on, it's an ideology. It's not individuals. It's an ideology. You cannot bomb people's thoughts out of their heads. This is actually probably going to make it more difficult going forward.
Well, I think the big thing that when we look at it, and one of the things that we noticed in the West Bank is that we've got, you know, Hamas had been rising in popularity both pre and post October 7th. And what that means is there was a certain level of strength that Palestinians were attributing to Hamas. What Israel has done is taken that strength away from them. And we've seen Arab neighbours looking to say now is the platform to fundamentally shape the course of Palestinian society away from Hamas.
I will say just finally, Daniel, because it might come in anyway, it's your point of view, but I did put it to you twice about the shocking level of death amongst particularly children and women and men, of course, as well. And to break it down to sort of a ratio in terms, you know, civilian versus military deaths. And you didn't really sort of, for me, Daniel, you didn't acknowledge, you know, the particularly the kids being killed, wiped off the face of the earth. Do you have anything to say about that you think it's regrettable or it's unjustifiable that kids are being killed the way they are?
Well, I fundamentally reject that. I haven't acknowledged that. So I think I have said that, you know, it is horrific what's happening in Gaza, and, you know, every innocent life we should be regretting. But I think it's fundamentally a question of when you're coming back to this, is saying, where is the blame at? The blame is at Hamas, who are using their own people as puppets, who are using them as, you know, tools in their game. And John, I fundamentally reject the concept that, you know, with these absolutely harrowing images, that, you know, we get to slander, we get to attack the other side. And, you know, it's also looking at some of the things that have been said here, saying, well, oh, the images in Gaza mean that it's somewhat acceptable what Israelis and Jews have been put through across the world because people are angry. Can I say, I think a really good example for people listening in is the example of Owen Hayes this week. There's been a scandal over his shares in Palantir. Now, if you look at Owen Hayes' political record on the issue of Israel, it is pronounced in terms of calling for sanctions, calling for actions, exceptionally critical. And he fell afoul of this narrative on the Middle East, this pro-Palestinian narrative. Mm-hmm. And it ended last week with the headquarters of the Social Democrats being evacuated in Frederick Street because of a bomb test.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, where do you start in history about proportional responses to things? And you have other appointments, and we can't get into it now, but, you know, people, for the average listener, maybe in Ireland, perhaps not elsewhere, you know, a lot of Christian buildings are set on fire and what have you, but a synagogue being attacked versus a bomb to kill one Hamas leader killing 600 or 700 civilians, the public generally then don't feel too bothered about a building. That's probably terrible, but that's just the way people's minds work.
Well, I think when there's people in the building, I think it's very different. You know, when there's people praying early in the morning and there is petrol and gasoline being thrown into the windows and it's being set alight with people inside it, I think that's very different. And I think it's minimising the violence and backlash there has been to say it's been against buildings and institutions, not people. It has been fundamentally a backlash against Israeli and Jewish people. And I think, you know, we can talk about a certain attack or what have you. And also, it is very important to say this as well, that there have been several claims by Hamas about mass casualties and attacks that have come out and been proven false, and which have just stirred up.
And there was also claims of there was also claims of what happened on that horrible day on October 7th that turned out to not be proven either. Okay, listen, thanks for your time, Daniel. I do appreciate it. Danny O'Dowd there, who's Ireland's Israel, spokesperson for Ireland's Israel Alliance. And just to, I was going through the papers and actually, the next story was about the death toll in Gaza. Israel forces continued to pound largely isolated northern Gaza. Yesterday's the Palestinian death toll in the war approached 45,000 euro. That's in the Irish Daily Star today. Just to continue the papers and then we'll move on. In the Sun today, it reads, amid fears over politician safety, a security allowance for our 234 TDs and senators has been bumped up to 25,000 euro each. The new figure, a five-fold increase on the previous amount of 5,000 euro, is for alarms, CCTV gear and other measures. It comes after incidents involving Irish politicians in recent months, including hoax bomb threats to the homes of outgoing Taoiseach Simon Harris and Justice Minister Helen McEntee. Absolutely horrendous that I think that politicians are being targeted like that, and that we're in a state in this country that each requires 25,000 euro for their security. That being said, I think there's many in the public that might feel that, and it's all politicians, by the way, so it's not government bashing, that they could pay for that out of their own pockets, should they not? And this is a little somewhat like in terms of how people react to stories like our last story, because obviously there is a fear, a threat to politicians, and that's why they've been giving that money. But my word, the public are probably going to say, OK, but can we have safer streets, please? What about us? And that's where sometimes it feels like I think people might observe a difference in how people are treated. Some examples, just in the Irish Mirror today, a notorious thug has been arrested over a brutal attack on two off-duty Gardaí, which left one critically ill. The officers attached to the Dublin Regional Armed Support Unit had been at a Christmas party when they were attacked from behind in Dublin's Temple Bar at around 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Meanwhile, this is the shocking moment. A woman almost fell under the wheel of a passing bus as she tried to break up a fight. The horror incident unfolded on Lower George's Street in Dunleary, County Dublin, on December 7th. Man in hospital after single punch. Horror on night out. A man was critically ill in hospital last night after he suffered serious head injuries in a one-punch attack. The incident happened early on Saturday morning in Mullingar, County West Meath. Elsewhere, a man's in hospital with head injuries following an assault. He was discovered unconscious on Monaghan Street, Newry, County Down, in the early hours of yesterday. That's in the north. Of course, we had a person, the victim of a serious assault in Ballybuffet at the weekend as well. And if you're a woman, unfortunately, an incredible amount of women being assaulted, seriously injured or murdered. And a murder investigation was launched yesterday after the death of a woman. The PSNI said Karen Cummings, who was 40, was found in Banbridge, County Down, Saturday night. Two people have been arrested in connection with her death. So as I say, I'm not saying there's competing levels of threat and fear and what have you, but that's why, just so politicians understand, that's why people react in such a way when they hear of big money being given to people for protection, and then they'll look at the paper. I'm only saying what people think. Some people think, right, they'll look at that and go, well, what about the security for us? What about more Gardaí on the beat? What about, you know, so on and so forth. Please correct your caller. It was the Jewish football fans in Amsterdam that started all of the trouble in Amsterdam. There are different views on that. I've seen both sides of it. That's your view, and I've put it out there. I would query whether Greg has seen the study stating that the Gaza Health Ministry counted Hamas members in the death toll of children, and whether he's seen the videos of Gazan celebrating October 7th. I, with respect, not digging that deep into that, about what videos look like and whether anything's justified. This is just where I'm at on this one, and I'll be very clear, and I try and avoid expressing opinion as much as possible. I don't know the ins and outs of what's happening. Maybe they've miscounted some of them. Maybe they're counting Hamas. I don't know. But in terms of the women and children, and there are very few Hamas members that are women and children, the death toll for them is tens of thousands blown to bits. So whether there's a video of people in Gaza celebrating October 7th or not, does that justify, will it ever justify children being killed like that? For me, I'm sorry, it won't. That being said, we brought a gentleman on who believes differently as such, and he had his say as well. All right, back with more after these.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 9102127.
Attention golfers. Swing your way into Christmas with McGurk's Golf. We've got all the best brands under one roof, like TaylorMade, Under Armour, Callaway, Titleist and more. Find the perfect gift for the golfer in your life at McGurk's Golf, Unit 16, 40 Retail Park, Letterkenny. McGurk's Golf, best brands, best value.
Donegal at night. It's vibrant, it's diverse, it's ours. Let's be safe and sound. Whether you're out for dinner, a show, a match, or just a stroll, we all play a part in creating a safe and enjoyable atmosphere. Let's look out for each other. Keep our streets clean. Have fun. Let's keep Donegal a place where everyone feels welcome and respected. Let's be safe and sound. This ad was brought to you by Donegal County Council and is an initiative of the Buncrannon Nighttime Economy.
As you get ready for your baby, it's normal to feel lots of emotions, both positive and negative. If you feel overwhelmed, talk to your GP or midwife. Visit mychild.ie for advice on pregnancy, baby and toddler health.
Tinny's Toys, your local toy store. Christmas Club is now open. Everything for newborn right up to model collectors. Leck Road, Letterkenny. Or shop online at tinnystoys.com. Did you know that we even give 5% cash back on all purchases when you sign up to our loyalty program? Tinny's Toys, much more than just farm toys. Leck Road, Letterkenny. Or shop online at tinnystoys.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi folks, Paul McDevitt here, inviting you to join myself and Jimmy Stafford this Monday night for a very special Christmas edition of the Monday Night Sessions. And we're coming to you live from O'Flaherty's Bar in Buncrana, and we'd love to see you there. Joining us on the night is the amazing Conor Chisholm and his grandfather, the legendary Frank Chisholm. We also say a massive hello to the Beefsteak Dancers, the Two Bucks, the Any Show and Choir of Ages, and the Hopeful Kind. So that's the Monday Night Sessions Christmas special from O'Flaherty's Bar in Buncrana this Monday night at the earlier time of 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. as always, right here on Highland Radio.
Highland Radio Time Checks brought to you by AirGrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. AirGrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is?
It's 9:37. Nuala's with me now. Hiya Nuala, good morning to you.
Shop local is my big thing. Went into the local independent sports shop on Friday to buy Christmas presents for grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
They're at an age now they can tell you what they want. So one of them wanted an FAI jersey and the other wanted a rugby jersey.
Lovely.
So when I went into the local sports shop looking, I know the lad that owns the shop, buy there as much as we can. And he informed me that due to an agreement with the IRFU and the FAI, he is not allowed to sell the jerseys. They can only be bought from the larger retail stores.
That's not great. It squeezes out your independent store. And I know the store you're talking of. It's fantastic. Shop there regularly,
yes,
myself, Mary.
Yeah.
But they're prohibited even from selling them. So they can't source them and sell them because of the big deals with the big stores.
Yes. And I was very annoyed. I was very annoyed on Friday. And I told loads of people, and loads of people don't know about this. And I just want to get the word out there. I think maybe people power, we could swing a bit of this back in favour of the local shop. Like, the local shops will just disappear if this keeps going on. Everything, you know?
Yeah, because these are, you know, at the end of the day, it's grassroots support that keep the rugby teams and the football teams out. You want to be able to support your grassroots locally and be able to buy your...
Yeah, and then local shops as well. If there's a charity event coming up or any event in a local area, they're in looking for money and sponsorship and employ your child in it down the road. And there's a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay, and what are you going to do now, though? Because you're in a bind, aren't you?
Well, I went to the larger retail store, and they hadn't got them in stock. But I think on principle, I wouldn't have bought it anyway. So I went back to the local shop, and I got gift vouchers.
Very good. Well done. Instead. All right. Good point, Mary. Actually, yeah. I haven't heard it before, but I do appreciate you sharing it with us, and I'm sure your grandchildren will be more than happy with that, because there's lots of stuff for that. It's Britain's, isn't it? Britain's Sports Shop. It's a brilliant shop down there in Donegal Town. All right, take care, Mary. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you,
okay,
thank
bye.
You.
Right, Darren on Facebook says, Highland, like RTE, have been captured by the far left. I've never been described as far left, but thanks, Darren. I've been captured by the far left and just a pure propaganda machine between supporting terrorists in the Middle East. We have to be more clear in relation to that. Destroying our country with trans and immigrants. Destroying our country with trans. I mean, I know there's a raging debate at the moment, Darren, about that kind of stuff in schools and in terms of medical treatments, particularly for under-18s and stuff. But are you for real that you're pitching the two immigrants and trans in at the same time? Anyway, listen, good to have your views nonetheless. Morning, Greg. Trying to reason with the pro-Israel rich kids, like running into a cement wall repeatedly. They always have and always will play the victim, even when they are the aggressor. There are people in the buildings in Palestine. There's children saying their morning prayers. Cheek on you, Daniel. Sheer cheek. Jews are always right. I don't like sort of collectively labelling people, if you don't mind me sort of interfering in your message, because it's the collective punishment of Palestinians that is upsetting an awful lot of people. So to say that all Jewish people are all of the same view, maybe I'm being naive on this, that's a race to the bottom in my view. But anyway, the Western world looks the other way as they slaughter mostly women and children, blow up schools and hospitals. More children have been killed in this war than anyone before. But Israelis can still justify it, and if you don't agree with them, then you're anti-Jewish. They are doing the same as what Germany did to them. So the world has learned nothing. Good morning. Can you find out for the residents in Letterkenny if the council has a time frame to fix the footpaths outside the chemist? Sorry, I beg your pardon. It's not Letterkenny. I'll start again. Good morning. Can you find out for our residents in the town if the council have a time frame to fix the footpaths outside the chemist in Dunfanaghy Main Street? The curbs are loose and some of them missing. Very dangerous for older people. It's like this for about 2 years. The local councillor was on the council, but they still never fixed it. Right, we'll get on to it, see what the story is. What's the delay in fixing Dunfanaghy Main Street? Was the works there and the road hasn't been returned to the way it was once before? We'll check it out, and maybe there's a local business there that has an insight that might get in touch with us and let us know. Right, we're going to be talking about the logistics nightmare in terms of freight and humans due to damage at Holyhead. We have to take this short break, though. We'll be right back with that. Now, Irish hauliers have called for a temporary relaxation of the rules in driving hours and rest time to address delays caused by the closure of Holyhead to be extended now to Britain. And I understand that Britain are open to this. A derogation was signed into law by Minister for Transport Eamon Ryan and Minister of State for Transport James Lawless over the weekend to allow them to drive longer for shorter breaks. It's because of a huge backlog in deliveries because of damage to Holyhead. Let's see if we can get an insight now, and I'm sure we can, from John McLaughlin of JML Transport. Hi, John. Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad at all. This, in terms of connections between Wales and Ireland, Britain and Ireland, this is the worst possible situation at the worst possible time. What are you hearing from Holyhead, from drivers?
Very, very long delays. And just what you announced there now, they're trying to introduce a concession at the weekend, but it's a bit late, as the man would say, because everybody being in the Holidays game, you have to be there. There's no such case of the boat's stuck for a couple of days. People don't accept that. So should have done that in the beginning, because they knew that well it's going to take longer than a couple of 3 days to fix the berth. But there's two berths in Holyhead, and I've only reported one being damaged. Well, I can't understand that's why they can't use the second one. I can't understand that, but anyway, what they're doing now is diverting all the traffic from Holyhead back 2.5-3 hours back to Birkenhead or back out over the top, or go to Ross Lair, which is from Holyhead to Ross Lair, or to Pembroke, or down there. Like, you're looking at another 5-6 hours driving. Like, and that's all cost to the Holyhead that's not getting that money back.
Yeah,
so it's cost a wee fortune.
And the bottom line as well, too, with the best will in the world, and we rely incredibly an awful lot on hauliers, haulage companies, and the drivers. And I don't think people sometimes, until situations like this occur, realise how last minute an awful lot of it is as well. That's the way the system works. But, you know, it's going to be very hard, isn't it, to clear the backlog of stuff looking to go from Ireland to Britain and Britain to Ireland. And that's before we even start talking about, you know, people coming home for Christmas. In terms of moving the stuff, John, it's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. And there's a lot of hauliers at the moment. Like, I'm sending stuff out to the continent as well. Like, and thank God I'm working with professional people, like, and they're doing the job the best they can, and I can understand, but the ordinary person doesn't understand. And what I said back in 2008, the time the diesel protest was, within 3 to 4 days, no lorries moving in Ireland, there'd be nothing on the shelves. Mm. And now it's coming to truth. Now it's actually 2 days to 3 days, and there's nothing hardly moving, and the frozen goods has been held up going over and coming back. And the extra cost, like, I know for a fact that one person had to send a lorry out to the continent there, and they had to double man it, which they had to pay for an extra driver. Plus, they had to go the long way around, which the whole run, he's told me, has cost him €2,780 in total, which he can't claim from the person that's sending them out with that load. There's nothing he can do, but it was a time delivery and had to be there. And then if he didn't double man it, the driver would have had to take a 45-hour break, which means you can't stay in the lorry with this stupid rule. You have to stay in the hotel. So it might be a chance for all these people now that's looking at lorries to think, right, you know, we need to reinvent the wheel here, and I think the wheel needs to be reinvented big time. Instead of using a square wheel, we need to start using a round wheel.
Yeah, and of
course,
too,
there's a lot of rules.
We're running out of days as well between now and Christmas. I imagine a lot of companies in this country too have drivers from, you know, mainland Europe or what have you, who maybe have scheduled breaks to go and spend time with their families. So throw that into the mix as we get closer to Christmas. It's going to be problematic, to say the least.
But they have to pay for a hotel for them to stay in. They can't stay in the lorry for the 45-minute break, and that's a stupid rule as far as I'm concerned.
But really, John, are we at the point here whereby this will pass like everything passes, but you would like to see it, you would like to see it used as an opportunity and a reminder that the systems need overhauling here?
Big time, big time. Definitely, big time. The rules and regulations, like, we're on a 9-hour or driving 2 10-hours a week. Like, it's not enough. And they're chatting about reducing the speed limits here. And that's going to cause more chaos for on the roads, never mind anything else. Like, but again, there's no thought put into it. There's no backup. There is backup, but there's false backup. It's the same with electric cars. They tell you that this, that, and other electric cars. Well, I could spend 10 minutes tell you why you shouldn't buy an electric car.
But leave just, that for another people, day, maybe, John.
I know. And let me tell you, a lot of people would be very annoyed what I would tell them. But anyway, as I say, that's for another day. But there's a lot of rules and regulations that has to be changed in the transport, delivery cost, extra cost for boats and all that, and you're having to wait then for boats to, I know a lorry was sitting in Birkenhead for 2.5-3 days, couldn't move. Then I'd run into his weekend break, and they had to go and stay in a hotel. And, like, the whole thing's cost him and another £700-odd more, okay, because he had to take his break as well as the hotel break and pay for the hotel, pay for everything. And nice, hope the lorry's still there when he gets back.
As always, John, a great insight. John McLaughlin there of JML Transport. Hi, Greg. Can anyone explain why the council and councillors all call for people to shop local, yet they don't waiver the parking charges to get people into local towns for the month of December? The one thing I think maybe is it that we have to consider in that situation is that it could be chaos if people just abandon cars, people working in shops. I mean, obviously, there's a revenue element to car parking charges, but there's also a traffic control element to it as well, one must remember. Hi, Greg. Do you think a firm should discipline their workers for not working Sundays? I'm talking about employees in their 60s, nearly ready to retire, and has given more than half their working, half to the life working in that company. That comes from Lily. How discipline the workers for not working Sundays? I'm not sure what the scenario is there. It depends on your contract too, I suppose, Lily. And even though maybe they've been working there for a long time, everyone in the workplace often has to be treated equally. I don't know, Lily. It depends on the business and all that type of stuff. On the face of it, it does seem a little unfair, but as I say, I would need to know more. Right, we're going to take a break. Very excited because after 10 o'clock, we're going to cross over to Sinead and Ali and Joe at Nazareth House for a chat with those living there and a bit of news on the work that they do and how they're preparing for Christmas. So we're really looking forward to that. We had a great reaction to it last year. If you want to watch that, get on the get on YouTube right now. Highland Radio Ireland is where you'll find us. Okay, back after the news and obituary notices.